Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Scott Smith, an internationally ranked figure skater who was the second alternate in the last Olympics. He had to withdraw from the 2009 Nationals due to a back injury the day of the event. He's here to talk about how he overcomes such setbacks and how his parents have contributed to his mental game. Joining us is mental game coach Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
And hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa.
Scott, can we just back up a little bit and start in the beginning? How long have you been skating?
I've been skating since I was 7 years old, so it's been 20 years now.
And what got you interested? Did your parents, you know, pick you up and stick you on the ice, or I'm curious about what their role was.
Oh, I don't have the typical skating story. Most skaters, it seems that their parents were involved or got them started somehow. But my parents were just very into showing me all sorts of sports. So I was in Little League and soccer and gymnastics. I did all sorts of sports, but I went to a skating birthday party when I was in about first grade with all the kids in my class, and I just absolutely loved it. So I started taking group lessons and quickly progressed through those and then started taking private lessons, and it just slowly took over my life.
Wow. And when you say it took over your life, I assume that you were skating every day by what age?
I would say by about fifth grade, I was skating about 4 days a week, and I was taking it very seriously. My parents, at the time we were living in Baltimore, and we were starting to drive up to the University of Delaware, which was about an hour and a half away, once a week for me to have lessons with some of the best coaches in the industry. So it was about fifth grade when I really started really focusing on it, and I stopped doing all other sports just to give skating my 100%.
So your parents actually drove you an hour and a half once a week?
Yes.
And did they identify the best possible trainers for you? I'm just curious about their role. It sounds like they were very supportive.
They were very supportive, but they were very unknowledgeable. They just other parents and coaches at the local rink where there wasn't any competitive skating would come up to them and give them advice. They'd say, you know, your son, you know, really has the good work ethic and the personality and the talent for this. You really should be, you know, giving him this many lessons and taking him to these people. And they were really the people that informed them. I mean, all I knew was that I wanted to do it and I wanted to be great at it. And I had dreams of, you know, competing at the national and international level. But I was, you know, I was a little bit of an ignorant kid also and didn't really know where to go and what to do. So it was really coaches at the local rink that helped us out.
That's really interesting. And it's nice that your parents were open enough to take their advice.
Yeah, and at any moment they said, you know, is this what you want to do? And whenever you don't want to do this, it's fine with us. You know, for them it was a big commitment. It was expensive. Both my parents are teachers, so, you know, it's not a huge salary for them. And there's four kids in my family, so they couldn't just spend all their money on me. It had to be, you know, they had three other kids to worry about also. So that definitely played a part in my training also. And I don't think it was necessarily for the negative. It was just different.
Right. There's four kids in your family?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought there were three. Now, let's talk about what happened recently. You were at the Nationals, and something happened when you were warming up?
Yeah, every day, every competition day at a national championship, they give you two practices before the event. There's a 40-minute practice, usually in a rink somewhere close by, and then there's a 20-minute practice in the main arena, and then there's the event. And I went to the 40-minute practice in the practice arena, and I was having a great practice. I'd been skating for, a good 30, 35 minutes. It was towards the end of the practice. And I just came down on a jump a little bit, in an awkward way, and I just felt my back. I tweaked it, and I could just feel all the muscles tightening up. And I have a history of back problems. I had a stress fracture when I was 13. And since I was about 20 years old, when I was trying to learn the difficult jumps, the triple axel and the quad jumps, I got a herniated disc in my back. So I definitely have a history of back issues, and I've had these spasms before. And I knew it was just going to be a week or two before my back felt better, because it just takes that time for the muscles to calm down. But I only had about 4 hours, so it was a really tough time for me.
So I'm sure devastating is the proper word of how you felt. And I'm curious about how did you deal with it? Did you feel like you had the experience to overcome these kinds of setbacks?
Definitely. I've had to withdraw from nationals one other time before. It was when I was 14 years old. I qualified, and that was when I had the stress fracture in my back. And, when you're a kid, it feels like the end of the world. It was only going to be my second nationals, and I was fourth the year before, and I was expected to win the title, and I had to withdraw, and it just felt like the end of the world. But with that experience then, a couple of years later, I then won the junior national championships, and it was like, nobody cared that I had missed a couple years before. Nobody remembered that. And so that's the thing with sports. There's major lows and major highs, and there's definitely, at the time it seems like a big deal, but once you've worked through those times, it helps you work through them again in the future, because it's not the end of the world.
Right. It helped to experience it once before. Patrick, can you say a little bit about injuries and how athletes deal with them, especially high-level athletes like Scott? It seems that they're your whole self-esteem is wrapped up in being an athlete, and suddenly you can't do what you do.
Well, I certainly part of it, Lisa, is that athletes, like sports like skating or, golf is another one where it's 24/7. You spend a lot of time on the ice. You spend a lot of time at the course practicing and training. Sometimes your whole identity gets wrapped up into being the athlete. And then when you don't have that, it's taken away. Some athletes can feel lost at that point in time. It's like, okay, what do I do now? Or who am I? So, yeah, that's part of it.
Now, Scott, did you feel some of that, especially the first time when you were 14?
Definitely. There's such a buildup every year for nationals. It was announced at my school, and everybody knew me as the skater. And so there was just a lot of hype about it. And then when I'm not able to go, it was just, it feels like who I am. It's what I do. It's what I spend all my time doing. It's what I care the most about. So when it doesn't work out, it's definitely hard to separate it from my whole entire life.
Now you work with a sports psychologist. What kind of tips did you get for overcoming the setback?
It's been tricky. She's given me some great advice, though. Kind of what I've talked about before, just knowing that in 6 months, people are going to forget that this had happened, and everyone's going to be looking towards the future. And there's some preseason competitions in the summer, and if I show up looking strong and great at those, no one's going to say, oh, too bad he was hurt at nationals. They're going to say, whoa, watch out for Scott. He's back this season. And so it's definitely, you can definitely erase the negative with positives in sports. So try to look forward and not backwards.
Right. We talk a lot about that, not dwelling on mistakes or things that went bad. What kind of fears do you have about returning to practice after an injury like this?
Definitely, especially with an injury like mine, I've been told that you know, it's nice when a doctor says in 6 weeks you can get back on the ice and in 8 weeks you can be doing 100%. But that's not how it is, particularly with this injury. He said, you're going to be the judge of what you can do. Mm. And he said a little bit of pain is okay because you need to push through it. So my main fear, obviously, is that I push too hard too quickly. So my main fear is re-injury. I know that if I can be pain-free, I know I'll be able to get myself back into tip-top shape and get all of my jumps back and get back in top condition. But my fear is that I am going to rush to get into that place.
Right. So you know that about yourself. So you're basically afraid of being re-injured.
Yes.
Now, do you have, and how are you going to deal with that? How are you dealing with that?
Well, for me, it's really important to kind of, like, let's say on a Monday, I'm going to set out what my plan is for the week, like what jumps I'm going to do, and, you know, I'll try X, Y, and Z on Monday, and if that feels good, then I'll go on to this move, and I'll go on to that move, and if it doesn't, I'll pull back. So it's really important for me to have a plan, because it's, for me, and I'm sure other athletes, you get out on the ice and it feels like, oh, okay, I'm feeling good. I'll do this. And, okay, that was fine. And just keep pushing forward. And then before you know it, you've gone too far. So it's very important for me to set a specific limit for myself before I get on the ice and get all wrapped up in what I'm doing.
Right. Now, Patrick, what's your thoughts about this, about the importance of having a plan? I think that's an interesting idea after a setback.
Well, it fits right into what's going on in terms of the fear of pushing too hard. Obviously, you want to have a plan for coming back and doing the right amount of work. You know, I could see two extremes, Scott. One would be going too light and afraid to push it. And some athletes I know, they're in such a hurry or they come back and they're impatient and they will push too hard and, you know, and go too fast with it when they're coming back. So those are some of the extremes. So I assume that having a plan or having a practice plan is going to help you fit somewhere between those extremes where you don't want to be.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's definitely both. I've seen skaters get so tentative after an injury that they never get back to where they were.
You mean so it's more their mental game that's been injured more than
uh-huh.
their body?
Yeah, one of the things I noticed is there's more mental scars than there are physical scars, so to speak. In other words, even though you get the doctor gives you 100% and say you're ready to go, you know, just gauge it by how you feel. Mentally, there might be still some scars there, and you might not be, your mental game might lag behind the physical recovery. Any opinions there?
I completely agree. And skating is nice because it's easy to build. You know, I can say, oh, I'm going to do this jump, a single jump today, and then a double jump the next day, and you can gain your confidence that way. Where other sports, I think it's probably harder to, I mean, maybe there's ways of doing it, but I think it's harder to sort of give yourself those boundaries and build the confidence the way that in skating you can.
Right. In a basketball game, you got to jump right in there and you got to go full force and there's no halfway. There's no single jumps.
Right, right. And for me, I can go in each day and slowly build. And for a basketball player, you know, you throw them into a practice with their team and the rest of their team is at 100% mentally and physically and it's kind of overwhelming. Where since mine's an individual sport, I can pace myself.
That's a really good point, Scott. Well, we're out of time, but I thank you so much for joining us, and it would be fun to just follow you as things progress and check in with you every once in a while.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that. That's great.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.